Greetings, sisters, and welcome to the Wild Mystic Woman podcast, an interview series of powerful conversations with modern mystics, wild women, soulful entrepreneurs, and divine feminine leaders. I'm your host, Leila Saad, and I'm a writer and mentor for spiritual women doing sacred work. In each episode, we hold intimate and holy conversations about the heroine's journey, the spiritual entrepreneurial journey, and what it means to be a wild mystic woman. Today, we are speaking to my friend, Maria Palumbo. Maria's sole mission is to awaken women to their innate power. Beginning in community mental health, Maria served as a psychotherapist with a specialty in healing the wounds of trauma. Maria integrated holistic therapies of yoga, aromatherapy, meditation, and dance therapy with the discipline of psychotherapy. And she created a model for group therapy, which is still being implemented by others today. She expanded on her education and experience in psychotherapy by becoming certified in yoga and Reiki too. And grounded in psychotherapy, Maria created her own model of self-discovery, which stokes the holy fire in every woman she meets. Acutely aware of the innate genius in all, Maria works with women to help them remember and unleash their power. She is the creator of Awaken to Your Magic Mentorship and Body Love Goddess Photo Shoot, an event that is the impetus for a body love revolution. And I first heard about Maria from my friend Katie Burke, who is in episode 004. Maria was featured in Katie's Modern Priestess Movement interview series. And I remember watching the interview and just thinking, wow, this woman's energy is just like, it's just bounding off of the screen. It's just like coming through and hitting me. And it was delicious, and it was visceral, and it was powerful, and it was exciting. And I thought, there's a woman who really loves being a woman. And so I'm really excited to bring Maria on today. She is someone that I think this conversation that we're going to have together is really fiery. And I think it's going to really activate a lot for many of us who are listening. So welcome to the show, Maria.
Thank you so much, Leila. It's an honor to be here with you.
And it's an honor to have you here. And, you know, first of all, I want to say to our listeners, if I sound a bit different today, it's because I'm still recovering from a cold. So my voice is huskier than usual.
Very sexy.
I'll try not to sneeze or cough or anything. I'll mute myself if I need to do any of that. But many of those who know me, who've heard our interview series before, know that my kind of tempo is very calm and very soft, I think. And what I love about your energy, Maria, is it's very fiery and it's very excited. And I think it's going to be a great play of energy between the two of us today.
I love it. I really love it.
Okay, Maria. So first question, here we go. What do you most love about being a wild mystic woman?
I love that question. Being awake and alive every single day. You know, I used to think that I had to arrive at a certain place in order to consider myself whole, in order to consider myself worthy. Mm. And recently, I would say within like the last 6 months of being in my business, I realized that I have arrived just by waking up every single day. Mm. I'm continually arriving, like in the pain, in the joy, in the mundane moments, you know, in the moments when I'm like speaking to like my bank on the phone for like 2.5 hours because I'm waiting for something to go through. Like all of those moments are waking me up to myself. And it has been such a homecoming to recognize that I don't have to do or be anything other than what I am to be whole and to be fully inspiring in the world. It's such a relief.
Yes, I love that so much. Because one of the things that I really resonate with you for is that you are a truth teller and you're a truth liver. So one of the places that you love to play is your Facebook group, right? The Body Love Goddess group. And I see you sharing in there every day, and you're sharing everyday life. You're not a preacher from the mountaintop. You're sharing real things that are happening in your life and the struggles and the triumphs of it all. And there is so much power in that. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that's about for you? Like, why that's so important for you to share the truth of the mundane and the magical?
Yes. And that's another reason why I follow you and I love you so much. I know that the mundane and the like empty, simple moments in life are actually the moments that are waking me up and are connecting me fullest to other people. And I remember like in the beginning of my business, I was thinking, oh no, like you have to be smart or you have to be spiritual or you have to use a certain language or you have to do this. And I was thinking of all these have to's and I was feeling really sad in my heart. And then within the last 6 months, I just woke up to the fact that all I need to do is just share my experience, share my story, and I no longer have to stop trying to fit into this box that society says, oh, this is a healer, or this is a woman, or this is a wife, or this is an aunt. Like I didn't have to jump into that box anymore and live in that restricted sort of way where my lungs can't take a deep breath, but rather I could just share it from exactly where I'm at right now. And that's enough. Like I don't have to be this brave warrior in order to inspire true change in other people. And what's incredible is that the more that I share those real stories from my heart, like the everyday mundane nothingness, it's like the more people get connected and the more I'm finding my real tribe. And ever since like I was, I guess when I was 18, I was in like this horrible depression, right? And I was like on the brink of my sanity, the brink of my life, because I was living this certain lie that was really hurting myself more than anything else. And I woke up to the fact that God, the divine, spirituality, all of that is not on top of that mountain, like you so beautifully just stated, but is in like crying in the shower and is with me like while I bake or while I, you know, find the energy to make my breakfast, even though I don't feel like it. Like that's what God is. Like God is in that ritual and not so much in what I thought God was or what I thought I had to reach for. So I think that has been something that's been really transformative to me, is just noticing that the divine is here right now in this and not somewhere else looking down at us, like kind of wagging her finger.
I love this so much. And there's so much that you've just said that I'm like, I want to talk about this and I want to talk about that. You're getting really excited. Okay, let's talk about the first thing which you talked about, which is about realizing on this entrepreneurial journey that you're on, that where you are right now is enough. That you woke up to the fact that sharing exactly where you are right now is enough, and that you don't have to contort yourself in these ways to fit into these models of what a quote unquote successful entrepreneur looks like, right? How a successful entrepreneur grows her business. And you know, that's something which I'm hugely passionate about. It's a lot of the work that I do with my business mentoring clients is around that. I was recently speaking with a client and she was talking about how she loves self-discovery and how if she could just be paid to just do that, that she would just be happy. And she's not interested in like using her story to like help people. You know what I mean? Like she's not wanting to become a coach. She just loves the journey of self-discovery and wants to be in that. And an idea that I was inviting her to explore is that you don't have to become a coach if that doesn't interest you, if the idea of it makes you feel really, really tired. And it's something that I found for myself where in my previous business, although I've always been kind of a rebel against the norm, there were many ways in which I believed a business had to look. Mm-hmm. Even though I was fighting against it, I thought I was fighting against it, but there were still many ways in which I thought you have to have these, it has to be a certain way. And what I'm finding now is it actually has to suit my natural way of being for it to work. And that is what I'm seeing with the way that you're growing your business, is that you're playing to your strengths. You're playing to your gifts rather than fitting yourself into a model. What is that journey like? How do we come to that? I know that for myself, it was a lot of fits and starts.
And oh, yeah. Sure
for you. What is, when it comes to, because I think a lot of it is to do with a sense of worthiness and a sense of giving ourselves permission to be exactly the way we want to be. Talk to us about that.
I love that. I want to speak briefly to your client. And I just want to say that women like that, who are just trying to figure it out, and they're like, I don't know. Like, I'm just trying to figure it out for myself. I honestly think that they're the best healers and coaches because it's like they're the people that are saying, hey, I'm just figuring this out for myself. Like, if this works for you, cool. But that's not my goal isn't to change you. My goal is just to connect with myself. And I honestly think there's this new wave of mentors and healers really rising up and moving forward of people who are like, dude, like, I'm real. Like, I'm just like you. There's nothing that separates us. And help me help you show you that. Like, I have magic and so do you. And the reason why that you see that magic in me is because you have it. And it takes such a load off our shoulders. And I think that's really, that's what this process has been. To come back to your question, for me, is like, taking the pressure off of my shoulders to be smart or to be, you know, important or to have something that other people don't have, because I kind of came into this field thinking, oh God, like, you know, in order for me to be effective, in order for me to be successful, in order for me to make a real difference, like, I have to have this air of like secrecy and, and this sort of like seriousness and be very like almost pompous. And I had to feel like I was better than people or I knew something that I could teach them. And what's so interesting is that, yeah, I've really woken up to my expertise and to my heart and to my strengths. But what has really helped me connect to people is just using my weaknesses, speaking from that place of this is where I'm at and this is what I'm doing and this is how I'm healing me, which actually inspires people to heal them. Mm. So it's like, this is how I'm doing it. Like, and I'm in it with you. And then people are like, oh yeah, like that's me too. And there's no line, like there's no separation. There's no division anymore, which is just so refreshing to live that way.
Yeah, it is. I agree. And it's definitely my, I guess, business philosophy as well is I love what you said about taking the pressure off yourself.
Yes.
It is such a relief to know that you don't have to have made it to help others. And that there's actually a lot of healing that takes place when you're simply being witnessed or you're simply, when someone is saying to you, I see you, I hear you, I'm on that path.
That's
and
it.
This is what is happening for me. And it doesn't, for me, it doesn't negate your power.
Right.
You can be both a quote-unquote expert in what you do. I mean, look at you, Maria. You have experience and certifications in psychotherapy. You're certified in yoga and Reiki too. So obviously you have qualifications and experience and certifications, but you sharing your vulnerability doesn't undermine your power, and you can have both at the same time. And I think that's, I think when you're talking about this new wave of healers that are coming through, I feel like what the new wave are about is, in one hand, they hold the truth of their power, and in the other hand, they hold the truth of their kind of their ordinariness, like their like regular personness. And so it does take the pressure off you, where you're not having to be this master, but at the same time, you're not like self-negating yourself to the point that you're saying there's nothing I have to offer.
Right. Mm. It's that balance.
Yeah.
And you know, what has been, what has really been transformative for me is people in my life, who have looked at me, mentors, healers, leaders, teachers, who have really saw my potential and my beauty and my strength and called that out. And people who are able to see that there was no lines between us. And that, like, that's actually the heart of what I do and what kind of propels me and draws me and gravitates me toward this work of mentoring and healing and leading and writing. which is I just want to get that. I want people to get that there's no line between us, and the healthiest, most profound, most real, strongest leaders, healers, teachers are the ones that say, like, we're the same, man. Like, we're drawn from the same pool here. Mm-hmm. Like, you have this too. So when I work with women in my mentorship, it's always about them waking up to their innate genius. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have gifts that I'm using, like you said, my certifications and psychotherapy, like I'm building on my wealth of knowledge. I'm drawing from that. But the goal of my work is that people really wake up to the fact that they got it. Like, they have it. Like, we're all walking around as healers and world changers. It's just a matter of really believing that and waking up to that.
Mm. Yeah, beautiful. Okay, so I want to talk about the body, our bodies, and embodiment. You have this beautiful Facebook group where you share a lot in, and I love that in the description of your group, you say first body love, then the world. Mm. And you work with healers and world changers, but what you're inviting us to do is to start within our loving our own bodies and loving our own selves first, so that we can go out into the world and do our sacred work. I love that so much. And I feel, again, as I said earlier, I feel that you do, emanate this embodiment piece. Like, you seem to be really, really in your body. So what I want to do is I want to talk about that, but I want to bring in the three cards that I drew from your altar, because the cards that came up are very much about that. And I didn't choose them on purpose. They just came up that way. Which is, you know, a sign from the divine that this is exactly what we need to be talking about. So the deck that I used for you, Maria, was the Sassy She Oracle deck by Lisa Lister, who is herself a great priestess in the world of embodiment. She works a lot around the menstrual cycle. And so I thought, yes, this is you.
Oh, so yeah.
The first card that came up, I will have to see the card. I will show you the card after our call. But it's called Love, and it has a picture of a woman, a naked woman, hugging her body. And there's hearts all around her, and she's clearly in love with her body. The second card is called...
I like that, goosebumps. Yeah, I love that.
I will show you afterwards, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I'm about. The second card, it's slightly different, is called Om, and it's a woman sat in meditation. Mm. And then the last card is Passion. And there's a woman who is kind of wearing, it looks like she is about to belly dance, like she's belly dancing. And she's dressed in kind of like gypsy-like clothes or belly dance clothes. And she's in a position of belly dancing. So those are the three: Love, Om, and Passion. Mm. So tell me about body love, the movement, Body Love Goddess, and weave on in these cards that have come up. What comes up for you?
Oh God, that's so good. We could just like stay there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my body love movement, that began probably a year ago, when I was waking up to the fact that as women, in order to really show up in the world, in order to really bring our gifts forward, we have to have a really strong, healing, loving, nurturing relationship to our body. Like, we got to be married to ourselves first, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, in order to really be in the world in a way that truly makes a difference and really inspires a change across the whole entire world, right? So we need to start with ourselves. So I created this this photo shoot called Body Love Goddess Photo Shoot, where women from all over came who historically had a sense of maybe their connection with their body wasn't that strong, or maybe they weren't really used to being in a bathing suit or really used to like being aware of their bodies. They came, they wore bathing suits and celebrated their bodies in such a beautiful, visceral way. Like, all of us had tears in our eyes, and it was absolutely pure magic. And the reason why it was pure magic was because I was just creating space for women to be in their bodies and to really be celebrated. you know, and to really feel good about their bodies right now, not tomorrow after I lose 6 pounds or after I start X, Y, and Z diet, but right now. And at that moment when I was like hanging out with these incredible women and we were throwing glitter and we were dancing and we were laughing and we were crying and like we became like sisters in like, you know, 8 hours, like at that moment, I knew that this is really the heart of every healer. Like this is the really heart of my movement moving forward is taking care of ourselves, loving our bodies, showing up for our bodies, seeing our bodies through the perspective of holiness. Like this is a really sacred thing. Our skin is really sacred and really gorgeous and deserves to be honored. And not just in the way of like, okay, like I have to do certain type of meditations or certain type of spiritual practices in order to honor my body, but just to be in it and to have fun with it and to adorn it with glitter and to like throw rose petals on ourselves and to dance in fields and just to find ways that makes us feel really alive and really connected to who we are in this moment. So for me, it's been this whole thing has been personal and of course professional. Like as I wake up to my own body, then of course my movement reflects that of embodiment and full body love without holding anything back. Because I've recognized that in the past, I've really divorced my work from my body and my soul from my body. And where that comes from, like we've grown up in a culture, you know, through the ages of incredible healers and teachers who have told us that our body is wrong, that like our sexuality is something we need to hide, that we're only spiritual beings if we speak a certain way and look a certain way and dress a certain way and do certain things and our lives reflect a certain type of living. And I realized like that type of mentality and belief system was really holding me back, trying to fit in, like what we were saying before, trying to fit into this ideal of what my body should be or look like or say, was really just keeping my voice small. So in my own process of waking up, I've been really getting the fact that I need to marry my body and my soul. So that means that sex is really important. Like me connecting with my husband in a physical, visceral way is extremely important. And being intimate and feeling his soul is extremely important. And like getting in the shower and feeling the water on my skin and like moving slowly in the shower instead of being scared to feel my body or scared to look in the mirror. And when I am scared to look in the mirror, like really thinking about that and feeling that and noticing that and realizing that that is my practice, like that is my ritual, that is my healing. And if I'm healing that, if I'm able to look at my own body with love and tenderness and kindness, well, then I can really inspire the women that I work with. I can really connect with them and help them look at their bodies. So I'm constantly doing my work in order for women to really wake up to the innate genius in their physical body, not just in like the roles that they play or the amazing gifts that they have, but just in being present right now in our skin. And there's really absolutely nothing like that, that feeling of just being here right now and appreciating my body for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. What I'm hearing as you're speaking is that a great deal of power is unleashed when we are connected to our bodies. And so I'm wondering for the women that you specifically tend to serve, who are the healers and the world changers, what does in your experience, what does what happens? Let me find the right way to phrase this. How does the potency of a healer's work change when she's connected to her body in the way that you've just described?
That's a great question. Ah. It changes. It actually explodes and opens up because I am willing to nurture my body as much as humanly possible. I'm willing to look at myself in the mirror. I'm willing to feel my skin and I'm willing to dance in the candlelight naked. I'm willing to really show up for myself. When I'm able to show up for myself, that is how people get really connected, inspired to showing up for them, for themselves. So when I do my healing, for my body, for example, like historically, I've had a lot of body issues where, you know, it's like I would worry about what I ate or like having another piece of cake or not having another piece of cake. And, you know, like I would stand in front of the mirror and like see how much my body jiggled or didn't jiggle. And then I would feel good if I felt firm, and then I would feel bad if I felt jiggly. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, there was this sense of like always reprimanding my body and coming back to my body as not a tool of connection and freedom, but rather a place of hiding, a prison. It was like, it was a place for me to lock myself away. And that's just because of my trauma and the stories that I heard about my body, the sexual abuse and everything that I went through and conquered and healed. And the way that I healed and conquered these things was simply by deciding that I'm going to take care of myself. Like, I'm going to do my work. I'm going to go to therapy. I'm going to read. I'm going to seek everything I can learn to really nurture and heal my body. But most importantly, like, I'm going to do absolutely nothing. I'm going to lay in bed when I'm tired, you know, or I'm like going to get up and dance when I know that I need to move, because my body is not just a spiritual being. It's actually real. Like, I'm here right now. So I got to move. I got to dance. Like, I no longer have to feel bad or guilty for making that a priority in my life, for making my physical health a priority, because that, I feel like that is like the most powerful movement that women can do for themselves, is the moving forward of nurturing and loving their bodies right now. Not just talking about it, but really loving it and appreciating our bodies at this moment. And when we do that, when we nurture our body, when we stop like worrying about the food, or maybe we just heal the idea that we're worried about the food. Like, when we do those things, when we speak up about what's really happening, then we can really grow, and then we can really connect to other people because we're real and we're taking care of our own issues first in order to fully show up in the world.
Yeah. I love this so much. I'm just, Oprah Winfrey just dropped into my brain.
Oh yes.
Because
Oprah.
Yeah, I think I read something of hers recently, and I think she said something like, if I had waited till I was thin to put myself out there, then I, you know, no, it was not Oprah. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. It was Lisa Nichols, who is one of the ladies from The Secret. And I think she'd said, yeah, that was it. She'd blown up her brand, her business, everything had blown up because she was in The Secret. And she's an incredibly successful woman. And she said, if I had waited to do my work until I had lost weight, then I would be The Secret. Nobody would know about me. Because she didn't start losing weight until I think just the last couple of years. And she had always been, carried more weight. And what I love about what you're saying is, again, specifically speaking to the healers and the world changers who are listening in, what I'm feeling is that patriarchy has us distracted by, is my stomach jiggling, or does it okay, or do I need to hold my stomach in when I'm walking down the street, or can I put myself out there when I look like this? Can I do a photo shoot for my brand when I look like this? Can I do a YouTube video when I look like this? So much hiding. Can I be a health coach when I look like this? Right. So much hiding, and so many excuses why we're not exactly perfect the way we are as we are. And so, I feel like this is really powerful work that you're doing, because what your message is to me is that it doesn't matter, and it does matter. So first of all, how your body looks, it has no bearing on whether your healing work works or not, right? It has no bearing on whether you're worthy enough to do this work. But it also matters to have a relationship with your body. You can't just transcend it and be like, well, I'll just be in my mind then, and just be like this really wise woman who has like these sage sayings. Mm-hmm. This wonderful work, because being in your body also unleashes a whole other level of power and potency. And so that just feels really juicy to me.
I love how you say that.
Yeah. And I feel like loving your body is like a big fuck you to the patriarchy as well.
Oh my God. Oh, quote that. Write that shit down. Oh my God. Yes.
It just is, right? It just is. And so what I will do is on the show notes, I want to include the image of your Body Love photo shoot there, because
oh, I would love that.
That image is beautiful. There are women of all different sizes and shapes and colors and everything. And they're all in these beautiful, I guess, bikinis, right? You're in bikinis.
Yeah.
And every shape and color and size is being represented there. And each woman looks like she knows she's it, right? She knows she has it. And it's not coming from you. You didn't give it to them.
Mm-mm.
You unleashed it within them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so just speak a little bit about that.
Yeah. A lot of women, I actually started gathering some testimonies recently, and I've been hearing, like, one woman said that, like, historically, like, I would never wear a bathing suit, let alone in public, let alone in a photo shoot, you know, with, like, that's insane. And yet I felt so safe to get into my bathing suit, to really enjoy my skin and to no longer feel ashamed or to keep judging myself and comparing myself to other people. Like, this was like the first time that I felt really gorgeous and felt really beautiful. And just hearing those words, like, from women who, like, might have physical disabilities or mental disabilities or, you know, different things that they feel like that have kept them back from being beautiful. But just to hear the words that they have woken up to the fact that they are beautiful, like, there's absolutely nothing like it. And I'm actually, like, tearing up now because it just fuels me even more. It creates an even deeper hunger in me to reach more people and to connect with more people and to keep holding these photo shoots and drawing in these women, because it's like you said, I'm so glad that you mentioned the patriarchy. It is a lie that tells us that our body is anything less than incredible. Like, it is a lie that keeps us small, that tells us we have to wait until we are X, Y, and Z before we can serve, before we can feel sexy, before we can feel beautiful. And I know that it's also super spiritual to, like, care about my ass. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay. Like, in the past, I was like, oh no, Maria, you shouldn't, like, want to be strong or have definition or enjoy looking sexy or feeling sexy. Like, no, like, being sexy is of the devil, and being sexy, you know, you can't make a real impact in the world if you feel sexy and you're, like, turning yourself on and, like, you're just having so much fun. And then I'm like, no, like, that's just, like, another lie that the patriarchy tells us that in order to be good women, in quotes, moral women, that we dress a certain way or that we act a certain way or that even our bodies look a certain way. And that when we cross that line, well, then now we're whores, or now, you know, now you're just flirting, or now you're just showing off your body and there's nothing in your head, because the patriarchy is so full of binary that we are either spiritual and covered, or we are, like, sexual and we're not spiritual and we're leading people astray away from God, you know? So it's like, as healers, as leaders, as women, which we all, again, are healers, leaders, and world changers, like, when we wake up to the fact that we can be whatever we want to be, our bodies can reflect whatever energy we want to reflect, and we're not doing it for anybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not being sexy, we're not being whole, we're not being gorgeous for anybody else anymore. Like, nobody else has the right to tell us about whether or not we are sexy, and it doesn't belong to anybody. It belongs to us. And just that reality is so juicy. And I think that's what you really connect to when you say that I'm fully embodied. Like, you feel that.
Yes, I do. I really do. I want to talk about, because you've talked about sex and sensuality, And I want to talk about sex and sensuality and spirituality, because that's what you just really touched on there. I'm reminded of an incident that happened a couple of months ago, I believe it was. A lady that I know who is a spiritual teacher, but clearly, like you, very sensual, very sexual, received a comment from someone that what she was sharing was wonderful, that the advice and the wisdom that she was sharing was wonderful, but she was being taken less seriously because she was visibly in her body, basically. That she would be taken more seriously if she covered up. That was the basic message. And it angered me so much. really pissed me off because, you know, I am Muslim. I come from, I dress quite modestly. It's part of my upbringing and it's part of what makes me feel embodied. And I believe that every woman has the right to define that for herself. And what I reached out to this lady and I sent her a poem by, I believe it's Naira Wahid. And it said something like, yes, I do have permission to be this lush and never ending. Mm. And I said, you send that to anyone who speaks to you like that next time, because you have every right to be that lush and never ending. So many women entrepreneurs are afraid of being visible for so many different reasons.
Oh yeah.
And I think a lot of the times we think it's just us, like, well, I'm just shy, or I'm just, you know, very sensitive or this, but actually a lot of it is coming from messages from society about how we're supposed to be showing up. And you've just talked about that. But I would love for you to talk about it more. You know, a lot of the women who are listening to this are spiritual women. They're running these sacred businesses. And I want you to talk about how it's perfectly okay and good to show up as sensual, sexual women and still be taken seriously as a spiritual teacher or a spiritual mentor.
Yes. And first, I just have to say, I love what you shared with her. Like, I'm just very moved to hear that poem that you shared. I feel like you really connect to the heart of that. And I really love how you honor your own flow, you know, and you've recognized what that looks like for you. And I just think that's so freaking beautiful. You amaze me. I love it. So in order to really talk about the honor, it's like I have to start with the dishonor. I have to start in the dark. I have to start in the underworld, because I think that's the only way that we can really wake up to our light, when we're really connected to what we had to go through to get here, so to speak, and what we continue to do.
Yes, please take us through that journey, because I think this is the heroine's journey. This is a huge part of the heroine's journey and the divine feminine journey. So please take us through that. Yes.
So from like the ages of 14 to 18, I was in a relationship with a man that was like 11 years my senior. So it was totally inappropriate, totally a breach of power, totally a breach of safety and truth and love and all of that. And in that relationship, in the secret, very disturbing relationship, I fell asleep to the beauty of my body, because I connected the worth of my body to what someone else thought and what someone else needed, to what this man said or what this man felt. And as a result, I had an eating disorder. And I believe that, you know, my body, all it is a tool for a man, for a man's pleasure. And if I love someone, I let him use me. I let him take advantage of me. I stop caring about my own body and I just become whatever he wants, right? So from the ages of 14 to 18, I was a kid when I was going through this. That's what brought me to the brink of my life, literally. I was like, at age 18, I'm like, I'm literally going to die if I don't change something. Like, something has to change dramatically right now. Like, I have to wake up. Otherwise, I'm going to lose it all. So at that moment, when I was 18, I remember reading mystic poetry that said, no, honey, like, your body is holy. Like, every fingerprint on your body has made you who you are. Like, this is okay. This is part of your journey. Like, Rumi and Hafiz and just St. Teresa and St. Catherine and, like, all of these people were telling me, like, no. Like, everything that everyone's telling you, like, all this energy that you're getting around you, that your body is now bruised. Now you're damaged goods because you were sexually involved with this person who you would never have been sexually involved with, and you were taking advantage of, like, all of those rules. No, that's not you. Your body is precious, you know? So like 18, I started hearing that in this mystic poetry. Like, that mystic poetry really saved my life. And I woke up to the fact that, oh my God, like, if I feel the hot water on my skin as I cry in the shower, like, that's my baptism. Like, I don't need a man or anybody else to tell me anymore what my body is about or what I should do with my body or what my worth is, right? So I decided at that moment that I would hang around this earth. Like, I would not die. I would stay here because I knew what it was taking for me to wake up to the fact that my body was holy. Like, I was getting real to the fact that it takes work. Like, it takes therapy, and it takes like crying, and it takes like women in my life who are going to tell me the truth. Like, it takes a lot, you know, a lot more than I think that we really recognize. And I decided that I wanted to make myself well to really own my own relationship to my body, so then I could teach other people how to do it for them, because we need people like that, right? Like, we need people saying, oh my God, I've been there, done that. Like, I know what it's like to survive hell, so you can survive hell too. But it wasn't until very recently did I really get the fact that my body is this sacred tool to connect me with the divine and to connect my partner, whomever I choose to be sexually connected to, with the divine too. Like, that wasn't until like, I don't know, man. Like, I knew it cognitively, maybe the last like 5 years, but not until like physically was like the last year. Because I still was thinking that, like, I was still trying to choose, like, okay, I can be this therapist, I can be a psychotherapist, and I can help people with their wounds, and I can help them move forward, but I can't be a sexual being too, but I can't also enjoy sex, but I can't make that a priority in my life to really feel good in my body when I'm naked and to have pleasure in my skin. Like, oh no, that's not okay. Like, it was hard for me to really incorporate and embody all parts of me. And what really helped me wake up to the fact that I get to be all parts all the time was simply just like self-care. Like, wow, I need to be moving every day. I need to be really nurturing my body every day with like juices and smoothies. And then sometimes I have to eat a whole pizza and freaking be okay with that, you know?
I love when you post about eating a whole pizza. Those are my favorite posts.
Right? Yeah. Like, and it's totally okay. And then I can still be a sexual being. Like, I still can enjoy that sense of presence with my husband. And like, when it comes to that, like, oh my God, like, what that has been the most transformative work ever, and like the most heart mind blowing like healing, which is like literally just being naked with my husband and recognizing that it is okay for me to receive physical pleasure and to give physical pleasure. Like, that's okay, and that's really important. It's not my God. It's not like something that I'm going to like kneel at the altar of like all the time 24/7. Like, that's not my identity, but it's still a really important part of me. And I get to do and be and enjoy and just breathe love and pleasure into that area of my life and really recognize that it's okay to enjoy that. And then when I enjoy my body, when I enjoy my sense of sexuality with my husband, that energy ignites me. It's like, and I take that energy and it fuels me, it like moves me forward in the world. It's like, ah, now I can like inspire and I can be even more awake because I'm enjoying my own body. So it's been quite a journey of deciding that my body is good. Even when I want, or I hear my body is bad, Maria, don't show cleavage, you know, or don't do this or don't do that. Maria, do this. Like, when I hear those messages, it's like, no, it's okay for me to enjoy my body because now my body is my own. And that is like, that is the most delicious, like that's the most delicious spirituality right there. It's like, ah, no, my body is my own. Like, this is mine. I get to decide what to do with it.
Oh, Maria, it's so juicy. Do you have, I'm just thinking of the women that are listening in and thinking, I want that, you know, how do I start? Do you have some advice, some tips on how to get started on this body love practice? I love that you talked about sex, and I would love, without being voyeuristic, I'd love for you to kind of talk about how we can start to feel that within those encounters, within that experience, taking it from just being purely a physical thing to being a holy experience.
And
body love practices that you can share with us.
Oh, yeah. I love your questions. I feel like I could talk to you forever. Like, I can't wait to come back, girl. This is so much fun. So number one, like, stop giving your body away to people who have not earned it. Like, stop. Like, stop giving your body over to people who don't respect you or don't really get you or don't really love you. So in so much of my life, I thought that I had to, like, my body was just something that I could easily give over, or that my body was owned by whomever wanted me. And I didn't have any say in the matter because of my abuse that I went through. So it's like, step number one is when I got the fact that I get to choose who I'm with. Like, wow, that is totally powerful. Like, and it's a gift. Mm. Like, our bodies are a gift. So there's this idea, like this free sex movement now, where it's like cool to like have like 12 partners and to be like polyamorous and to do this and do that. And I get that. Like, I think there's a place for that. And I think it can be holy. But at the end of the day, we want to really honor our bodies so much that we're only sharing the sacred space of our bodies with people who really earn it, with people who really honor us, who see us not just as, you know, breasts and ass, but see us as a whole being. And that is actually really terrifying for people, to be seen as fully alive spiritual beings and also really sexy and to be hungered for just because of everything that we've been taught. So number one, again, is just waking up to the fact that we get to share our bodies, our sacred space, with people who really deserve it, people who honor us, people who make us laugh, people who, like, get us, you know, like people who really want to be with us the day after, not just to sleep with us or want us. Oh God, there's so much really amazing literature out there about this. And I'm thinking, like, so much is like flooding my heart and my mind to start with, but there's a song by Magneta Lane about pretty much about a woman who has been constantly wanted, a constant lover, and has not known what it is to really be loved. And I think in order to really wake up to our true purpose and in order to leave a legacy in the world, number one is, like, we gotta let ourselves be loved. And if we're not letting ourselves really be loved, and if we're letting ourselves be taken advantage of in an unhealthy way, well then, dude, we got to heal that. Like, let's heal whatever wound there is that's manifesting in this way, that's telling us that our body is a tool to be disrespected. Like, let's heal that so we can feel respect and we can feel honor, so then we can fully show up in the world. So that's number one, is healing our wounds so we connect with people that respect us, right? And number two, I'm going to say, is when it comes to sex, like, we got to really figure out what we want. And, like, and let that be okay, you know? And, like, what I'm going to share about that is that, like, I realized that, yeah, you know what? I like it when people are kind of mysterious, or I like it when someone, like, plays hard to get, or I like it if I feel like, like, you know, there's, like, a power thing going on, or, like, there's something that maybe hits my edge. Mm-hmm. Like, I like not being treated like a little flower, or, like, somebody that needs to be talked to a certain way, or to be, like, polite. Like, I like that when it comes to physical intimacy with my husband. But, you know, I like it at my own pace, in my own time, in my own way. I don't have to fit into this ideal of what sex is supposed to be like or sound like, or what sexuality is supposed to really be experienced as. So number two is, we get to say what we really want, and we get to enjoy our bodies in a way that feels really good for us. You know, it's like nobody else's decision or turn anymore to tell us what is sexy or what feels good. And we get to make that a priority and recognize that having sex with someone that really takes care of us and really enjoying it and figuring out what we need to really enjoy it, and not just like create, like, you know, like that to-do list in our head or like everything else, or like think about, you know, go somewhere else in our head, like to figure out how we can be really present during that is really, really hugely important. And if, like I said before, if we're not feeling present, if we're not able to ask for what we want, if we're not really able to be turned on, if we don't really feel safe, well, there's something there for us, you know? And I think we really have to do that deeper healing to heal those wounds that are in our vaginas, that are in our ovaries, that are in our vulvas. Like, our trauma is in those parts of our bodies, and our bodies remember it sometimes more than our minds. So all we need to do is just heal that, like work with a healer. Specifically, like work with someone, move forward in our lives so we're no longer held back by those blocks that tell us that we're not allowed to enjoy, and that pleasure is wrong, and that pleasure is something that can hurt us or someone else. So step one was sharing our bodies with people who really deserve it. And step two is saying what we want And that whole time is just healing the wounds that manifest in ways that hurt us and other people. Like, that has to be it. Like, buying a jade egg and saging our vaginas, like, none of that is going to work if we haven't done, like, the deeper healing that we can actually speak from our wounds. We can actually look at our wounds tenderly instead of hide them under food and under lies and whatever else that we've been, drugs, whatever, overworking that we've been hiding them under. Let them come up, speak love. And then once we speak love and heal them, like, that is when we can have the sex lives that really feel full for us and make us feel enjoyable, that make us feel alive instead of small. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. And thank you so much for sharing that, because that some really tangible things that we can work with. In terms of, I love that you used the word pleasure, and you talked about how pleasure is not something dangerous. I think for a lot of women, we have been given this idea.
Yeah.
That our pleasure is dangerous.
That's it.
I think it's why so many of us are scared of our inner wild woman, because she seeks pleasure and she wants to be satisfied. And we are taught, no, you gotta have your shit together. You gotta be, you gotta be a mother, and you gotta be a wife, and you gotta be these things. And
yes,
you can't just go out there and just seek the things that make you feel pleasurable. You gave some examples earlier of really visceral, like physical feelings, like being in the shower and feeling the hot water on your body. When we talk about some pleasure practices outside of sex now that we can start really noticing and connecting to our body as we go through our ordinary everyday lives.
Yeah. So it's interesting, because it's like, if we let our bodies receive in the bedroom, it's easier to let ourselves receive in everyday life. And I love it how you say that. The pleasure really transcends all boxes. Mm. The pleasure isn't just in the bedroom at a certain time, a certain hour, the certain person. Pleasure is like taking a bite of an apple, you know, and like really tasting that apple and letting ourselves really taste it instead of being caught up with our to-do list or brought somewhere else. Or like you mentioned, that I said before, like standing in the shower and letting that be a baptism, like letting that be a clearing, like literally visualizing anything that doesn't serve us coming off our body, you know, getting out of our skin and pouring into the earth and letting the earth absorb what no longer serves us, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like modern day spirituality. There's this idea that like certain types of rituals will save us, and certain types of rituals are, you know, pure or healing, you know, like sage or burning this or doing that or so. Like, I get that. I think there's a place for all of that. But like, we are free from true depression and anxiety when our every moment becomes a ritual of freedom. Like our every moment, like when your kid is crying, right? And they're like, I don't like you right now. Or like when your husband's like giving you a look where it's really pissing you off, right? Like, it's like all of those moments, it's like we can wake up to who we really are when we tell the truth in those moments, which thus helps us actually receive pleasure. Like when I just went to Hawaii, when I came back, holy shit, I had like the biggest pleasure hangover ever, because it's like I had all of this pleasure and all of this joy. And I was like, did I deserve that? Like,
That's good.
You know,
can we talk about that? Because that is the flip side, right? That is the, like, we start to give ourselves permission to feel pleasurable. And then on the other side of it, there's the voice that says, am I worthy of having that much pleasure? Mm-hmm. Am I worthy of feeling that good?
Oh, yes, girl. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So I got home from Hawaii and I'm like, I'm jet lagged. Yeah, I'm still jet lagged now. And like, yeah, there's like some physical things going on too, but I felt like there was this sense of malaise and mm-hmm. sense of heaviness, because, and it happened after my wedding too, or like times in my life where I was really seen and got this amazing like response. There was like, and Brene Brown calls it like the vulnerability hangover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Are you familiar?
Yes, very familiar, yes.
Isn't she fabulous? I
love
that.
She's amazing.
Yes. And it's like the same thing. It's like the pleasure hangover. Like, I had this feeling of like, yeah, like, should I have, like, worked through that? Like, should I have been working even more than what I did? Should I have done that? Blah, blah, you know, and, like, and then I was feeling like, oh, what are people going to think, you know, if I'm having this pleasure in my life and I don't work all the time? Like, what are people going to say? Or do people feel guilty? Or do people feel angry? Blah, 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 blah. And I started going into this really crazy sort of mentality, because it's very easy for me to, like, historically, to shut down my pleasure and to keep working and to act as if that is moral. And, like, I've been reading a lot of early feminist texts by, like, Mary Wollstonecraft. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't read her, you totally need to read her. Like, you are, like, totally her. Like, you have the same energy and power of, like, the early mothers of feminism. And what I've been reading is that in the 1700s, like, she's talking about how women are not allowed to be anything other than mother or wife. Mm-hmm. And if they step out of that role and they just enjoy and they have fun, well, then there's repercussions there. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God, like, even now in 2017, it's like, I think we're still sacrificing ourselves to the God of, like, of overworking and forgetting that our pleasure, our health is really number one. And when we're balanced, I'm such a better creator. I am, like, so much more fun to be around when I'm not a little snot and I'm, like, tired.
Yes, completely. Oh, I love that so much. I love that you brought up Brené Brown's work and the vulnerability hangover, because I have noticed that happen for me, not in the same examples that you've used. I've noticed it happen for me in my business when that voice comes up and says, you're shining a little too brightly.
Yes.
And so it happens usually when I've launched a new program. So I've been sharing a lot about my work, or even anytime I write anything. And you know, Maria, I share a lot of writing.
I love it.
And there's times when I go to hit post or send and I stop and I think, maybe people are just tired of hearing from me. What if people think I'm shining too brightly? What if my being this much in my power makes another feel disempowered?
That's mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that conversation that goes up. And I think it happens anytime a woman is so she's had an experience where she's so, like, on fire, where she's just like, I just know who I am. I'm loving being who I am. I'm loving what I'm emanating. And then the hangover comes of, who do you think you are, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm not good enough. What is that? I would love to know from both your own experiences and the women that the women that you work with as well, how you support them in navigating that hangover.
I love it. So every woman that I work with is a freaking powerhouse, right? Mm-hmm. Like, genius, incredible. And we all, like, every single woman has often said to me, I don't know, like, what if, like, people think this is my ego? Like, what if, like, people think I'm just talking to hear myself talk, or, you know, and I really get that mentality, because I had that too in the beginning. I was afraid that I was, like, always checking myself, where is this coming from? Is this blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was always questioning it, like, within the first year of my business. And I've only had my business, like, about 2 years now. I think it's just the normal thing when we're new is to kind of question, where is this coming from? What are people going to say? And when you press send, like, the more you press send, I think that voice is still there. Like, for some reason, my voice gets even louder. Like, the more successful that I get, like, I tell the women that I work with, like, every time before I do something, I want to die. You know, I'm like.
Yeah. I think it happens more and more because we are pushing ourselves more and more outside of our comfort.
Yes. Time. And it gets bigger sometimes, you know, and other times, like, now I think I'm just getting more used to it. Like, I'm getting more creative in my response, and it's not stopping me as before. It might stop me, or I might have to hide it, but now I can actually talk about it, which helps other people.
Yeah.
So what I help my women in my mentorship get to is that oftentimes there's a root of this, and it's a wound. Oh, I love wounds, and I talk about them all the time. but it's the wound for me, and what I've seen with the women that I work with, that it's often like, okay, so early in life, something happened with the people that were supposed to take care of us where we felt like we had to take care of them. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with our upbringing or that people were broken. I'm saying that everything is perfect. However, everybody was created and we have all these unique wounds from our upbringing. Like, that's just the reality. And like, for me, I'm already like, I should be saving for my future kids therapy, right? Because it's like, we all are going to have issues. We all have issues. So with that said, like, something happened with these incredible women where they felt like, okay, I have to take care of mom, or I have to take care of dad, or I have to put my needs second in order to fully be there for them. Because if I start thinking about me, well, something's going to happen. Right. Like, mom can't handle that and dad can't handle that for whatever reason. Like, that's fine, right? So because of that, that manifests now into this sometimes a little fear of, well, what if I just show up? Like, what if I make it about me for once? What if I just own my truth instead of trying to be there or take care or give what everybody else wants? Like, what could happen? So there's like, there's this fear of backlash, which may or may not happen in the world. And then we sometimes overthink it and like hold ourselves back. Oh, it's ego, or it's this, or it's that. And what I tell my women is like, stop worrying about that. Like, I get that. Like, that why we worry, oh, is this ego? Is this that? But like, the more energy that we give to that worrying, like, the less we're showing up in the world. Because here, I'm just spinning my wheels here. Like, I'm just worrying if it's ego or not. And if I keep worrying about if it's ego or not, I'm never going to step forward. So it's like, I tell my women, like, stop thinking about that. Like, stop worrying about that. Just share. No longer analyze it or think about what other people are going to say or what other people are going to think. Just put it out there and see what that feels like for you and move forward and then see what happens. And another part of that is like healing those old mom, dad wounds that everybody carries, which is like giving ourselves permission to say, you know what? That freaking sucked. Like, that really hurt what happened in the past. And I'm no longer going to pretend that it didn't. Mm. And I'm going to own the fact that I deserve to feel fully loved. And I'm going to learn what that looks like. Like, I'm going to love myself in a way that my parents could and the way my parents couldn't. Mm-hmm. And then as a result, I think our lives, our writing, our power really reflects that, because we're no longer looking as much for validation. Like, we're always going to be vulnerable to validation, but we're no longer seeking it because we're able to fulfill that more within us by doing our own healing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, first we heal those old mom, dad wounds, and then the world begins to reflect more of our healing and more of our power and less of that attack. But I still think we're always going to have attack. We're always going to have like, whatever, like trolls. We're always going to have people who don't get us or don't see us. But I think as the more that we practice just showing up and worrying less about our ego or how we come across, like the more we just show up, the more that we make a difference and the more we actually heal ourselves simply by the act of showing up.
Mm. Oh, okay. So I love that. I want to ask then, as we are gaining more courage to show up exactly as we are, as we are gaining more courage to love our bodies exactly as they are, and we're doing this healing work as well, how can we create a sense of safety for ourselves within the journey?
Yeah.
I think safety is really important, like an inner sense of, I'm okay here. How do we create that?
Totally. And you know what? I think that the idea that we're not safe, I think that can sometimes turn people off from the journey. Mm-hmm. That like the fear of, oh, well, what if? Or if I have fear, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose control. So in order to create a sense of safety, like we do that self-care piece, like we go to bed or we laugh or we play or, you know, or we eat when we're hungry and we stop eating when we're not hungry, or, you know, we enjoy wine, like we enjoy our lives. Like creating a sense of safety is really grounding ourselves to the present moment in any way we possibly can. Some people like meditation. Some people like to really enjoy mindful eating. Some people like to sing. Some people like to dance. I actually think all those things are a form of meditation. Mm. So
I think it's why you got this Om meditation card in your reading.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I love it. So I think all of that, like embodiment, is fully connecting to all of our practices, which is a form of meditation. Mm. So when we are creating a sense of safety in our lives by maybe having heat, like drinking tea, slowing down when we usually would push ourselves too hard, then it's easier to do that deeper work. But I think sometimes, like when I talk to women on the phone who don't move forward in the work, I think it's because it's very hard to have a sense of safety and to create a sense of safety in our culture and our environment. Like, we have to work really hard to convince ourselves that we're safe to face our wounds and we're safe to do this deeper work, that it's okay. Mm. You know, because our society is really traumatized with Trump and everything else that's happening throughout the world. I know that you're not in the United States, but it impacts you too. Like, you feel the ripple effects.
Very much so, yes.
Right? So it's like, okay, like, what am I going to have to do to create a sense of safety so I can do the deeper work to face my wounds and heal them? So I turn off the TV, so I stop listening to the news maybe. So I stop maybe talking to people who make me feel ostracized and I just go inward for a time. I turn off Facebook. Like, we just kind of listen to our hearts and figure out what it is that we need. A lot of that is just developing the inner maternal voice that I teach my clients to do, which is asking ourselves, what do I need next? Like, how do I honor you? Like, talking to ourselves saying, hey, honey, like, you're tired. Like, maybe you need to turn off Facebook, or maybe, like, it's no longer time to, like, be this person. Maybe you need to no longer be that healer. Maybe you need to heal yourself. Like, maybe you need to go back to therapy. You know what I mean? Like, listening to that voice, I think, is what helps us create that sense of safety and developing that voice.
Right. And what I'm hearing, what I'm really inspired by about you, is I feel like the voice does come from the body. Like, the body is telling us, because it's tired, because it's cranky, because we have one of the ways, for example, that I know something isn't right is when my period is, like, really super late. I'm like, yes. Oh, okay, I was really stressed out this cycle. That's what that means, is that my body doesn't feel safe enough to release, because I've been so, like, going at the speed of lightning, and it doesn't feel safe. Other times I know I'm not okay because I get really cranky with my kids, or my husband pisses me off for no reason.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what if it isn't them? What if my body is trying to tell me something here? And so
I love it.
So something that I'm learning is having this ear, not only for what is coming from a higher power, like a kind of disembodied voice that is coming out from outside of me, but actually listening to my body saying, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, I need to sleep, I need you to sit in meditation for a few minutes, I need something warm, I need some socks on, I need to go and laugh with my sisters, I need to go watch a movie, right? I need pizza. Listening to that body voice, it's always inside of us. It's always there telling us exactly what we need. And I think the first step that I've noticed for me is first listening to that body, listening to that voice, and actually following through on what it's telling me to do. Because sometimes what it's telling me to do, or a lot of times what it's telling me to do, is not convenient for how I set my day up, right?
Yes. So, oh my God.
I set my day up and I was going to do all these things and achieve all these things. And my body's like, nah, how about we just stay in bed? You know?
I love it.
Right? And it's having taking that kind of great mother role for yourself, where you say, actually, darling, you do need to have a little bit of a nap, right? It's easy to do it for our kids. I know that when I see my kids cranky as hell, I'm like, you need to rest. Like, you need to go to your room and you need to lie down, and then, or you need to go have a shower. You will feel so much better when you have a shower. It always works. And yet for ourselves, we're like, no, got to keep pushing on, you know?
Yes.
I think there's so much, it's just so important to listen and then to follow through, even if it messes up this perfect day that you had set up, or this perfect week that you had set up.
Yes. And I love that. I love how you connect to your own body, and by you connecting to your own body, you're teaching your children, like, you're creating a legacy of connection by you just simply saying, I'm tired. I'm not going to do like 1200 things. And that guilt that comes up from not doing 1200 things, like, I'm going to deal with that.
Right.
Like, that's okay. And I love the way you say that. It is that simple of, of taking a nap or being in bed or just really enjoying the ebbs and flows instead of saying, I have to always be on, I have to always be flowing, I have to always be available. Right. And I just wrote about this, I think in my newsletter, if not in the Body Love Facebook group, which is like when we're really good at something, it's really hard to turn it off. You're an amazing writer, I'm sure. Like, it's hard for you to turn that light switch off and just like freaking absorb, you know, without feeling like you have to share, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be a pressure for me too. It's like, oh, I have this great thing, I can't keep it, I have to make sure I pass it along instead of just absorbing it and letting myself enjoy it. So I think a lot of the work is learning how to turn off the switch sometimes when I can, and so I can get filled back up, so then I can turn my light switch back on.
Right.
Because what I like to tell like my women that I work with is like, yeah, we're mothers, we're teachers, we're healers, like we're all these awesome things, but first we're women.
Right.
You know, and we get to be women first, and that gets to be enough. Like, I don't have to call myself a superhero. I don't have to name or be anything else other than what I am, a woman, and like before a wife or before an aunt. And yeah, I really love those roles. And yeah, those roles really make me come alive. And yeah, sometimes I base my worth or my morality upon those roles, which has just been like it's been the struggle of women from the beginning of time, right? Of like kind of depending our worth upon how we achieve, like the level of success in those roles. Yeah, that happens, but I'm still allowed to turn them off, those light switches off, and take off those hats and just be a woman and like go for a long walk for like 2.5 hours and give myself the permission to do that. And say, yeah, my husband can take care of this. Like, it's okay. Like, the world's not going to like fall to pieces if I turn everything off. And you know, and that's why I'm actually like, I'm moving into this realm of the idea that our womanhood is fully divine, and that like who we are right now is fully divine, and that we don't have to change or move or say or be or act as if we are separate from that like embodied voice. Like, we are actually that voice. Like, there's no lines anymore. Mm. Like the patriarchy used to say, well, no, like you are spiritual if you go to church. Like, then you're connected to God, or you're spiritual if you eat the body of Christ at church, then you are connected, or you're spiritual if you say these prayers, you know, at 6 a.m. in the morning, like that is your spirituality. You know, like, I think the patriarchy likes to paint it in a certain way, while our true divinity waking up to it is like, no, like just being fully awake and alive right now and doing my work, whatever that looks like that is it. Like, that's all I need. I no longer have to fit into all these other boxes. I can dance outside of them, which is actually connected to that third card that you pulled, the dancing card.
The passion. Yes. And the dancing. Yes. Yes. Very much so. Maria, thank you so much for this incredible conversation. I feel, just as I've been sitting here, I've been breathing deeply as I listen to you, and I've been feeling like that, you know, the breath as it's coming into my body and leaving my body, feeling so much more embodied, even with my cold and my soul.
I love it. Everything.
Just from hearing you, you emanate passion, and
thank you, honey.
I really want people to check out your work and to see how they can be connected with you and how they can work with you. So can you tell us about where we can find you and how can we join your Facebook group and how can we work with you?
Yes. Oh, I love it. And thank you for sharing that. It's an honor. I think you are very uniquely gifted at really helping the unique genius in everyone come forward. So I just want to really notice you for that. I think you are doing tremendous work in the world, and it's an honor to be a part.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. So how we can work together. Oh my God, I would love that. So you can reach me at mariapalumbo.com. On the top of my website, there's this little thing that says book a 30-minute consultation with me. And that's a really wonderful way to get to know me, to get to know, you know, if I can help you, if I can help you move forward and manifest your deepest desires. So the work that I do, I help real powerful powerhouse women wake up to their calling. So I believe that everybody has a legacy, and when we heal our shit first, then we can fully show up in the world and be unstoppable. Like, there's nothing anymore holding us back. So I help women really wake up to the fact that they are unstoppable and they are geniuses. Like, they have what it takes to create a legacy in the world of power and of joy, not just for other people, but for themselves. So there's a few ways that I do that. The most popular way that I do that right now, where I spend most of my time and my energy, is in my mentorship, is Awaken to Your Magic Mentorship. And that's an 8-week program where we dive deep into clearing what keeps you from feeling heavy that manifests in maybe body issues, money issues, sex issues, I don't know, friendship issues. Like, we clear, we heal those wounds. And then as a result, you're able to fully step into your power and recognize that you have all of the gifts that you need to fully create an impact in the world. Like, you got it. You know it. So that means in my mentorship, like, I make sure that people walk away with the fact that they are truly, they have everything they need and they are truly powerful. So it's not like, I use my gifts and I use my my expertise and I draw from like years and years of my own healing and my grad degree and all that. Yeah, I use that. But like, the heart of that is people really waking up that they have everything that they need already. So it's not about Maria and like Maria being so powerful or Maria this, Maria that. It's about, I am the powerful one. Like, I get that. I am the warrior. So in my mentorship over 8 weeks, people really waken up to that. And I hold their hand. I cheerlead them. I am the right-hand person, giving them the tools, the resources, doing the sessions with them so they get everything they need to really fully realize that they already have everything they need. And they can fully show up in the world, unstoppable creatures, unstoppable women. So the mentorship, you can get all that information on my website. And if you book a consultation call with me, you'll find out if the mentorship really works for you or if maybe a smaller packaging might be the best for you, as maybe you're not fully ready to be unstoppable, because sometimes we're not there yet, right? Like, sometimes we still want to, like, you know, lick our wounds and like be in that place. And that's totally cool, because that's totally part of the journey. So that's one thing you can do if you want to work with me, Awaken to Your Magic Mentorship. Another way that I can share my love with you is you joining the Body Love Goddess Facebook group, which I think Layla or myself, somehow we will link you in the,
in the show notes.
Oh, that would be perfect. Yes. And that's really fun. That's open, free, like, really wonderful way of connecting with yourself and getting nutrients, getting power to continue to show up in the world. And then if you join the Facebook group, you'll get connected to my list. My newsletter list, and my newsletter list is all the people who want to do the retreat that Layla and I spoke about in the beginning, the photo shoot. If you want to get connected to the retreat and come out and dance and play and just like have fun in your body and really worship the fact that your body is freaking delicious and learn what that looks like, you can come to the retreat. And the way to do that is by signing up on my list and getting into the Facebook group. And that would be a total honor.
Awesome. I want to add something to what you've just said there, which I really want people to know about you, Maria.
Yeah.
First of all, what I know about Maria is she's a real cheerleader for women. And so, yes, you know, as you were saying, Maria, you've got all of this knowledge and this experience, etc. But you fight for the women that you serve. And you are just, I think, rocket fuel for the women who get to work with you, because I know you are just within your free Facebook group. It's a place where I'm seeing women share in ways that are just incredible. And I think that you do that. I think that you set that tone within the group. And so I can imagine that in your one-on-one work, it must feel like rocket fuel for whoever you're working with. And then the second thing I want to say is, for anyone who's maybe feeling like, oh, Maria is so juicy and she's so delicious and she's so full of power, and I don't know if I can keep up with her. Like, I don't know if I can like go at that level. What I feel and know about Maria is that she is coming from a really pure place of love, and she will go at your pace. She'll challenge you, but she won't push you so far outside of your comfort zone that you don't know who you are anymore.
That's it. Thank you for mentioning that. If I can speak to that for a second. Yes, oh my God, that's so good, because I hear a lot, like there's a lot of intimidation. Like, I don't know if I could do that. Like you can, or, you know, a lot of fear comes up. Like I'll work with women. Like I'll do a lot of power shots, which are my complimentary calls, and we'll both be in tears. And women are like, oh, I'm totally ready. Like I want to do this. Like I feel so connected to you and I know that I deserve more and let's do it. And then they pull back.
Right.
They retreat because the fear gets to be so loud, right? The old fear that we're not good enough, that somebody else has something that I can never have, right? So I really appreciate you mentioning that, Layla. And I think, I'm sure you come across this too, this idea of I can't, or I can't do it the way you do it.
Right.
So in the work, it's all about you trusting you. And I, my expertise is helping that happen. You wake up to the fact that you have the power. And like you said, we go at your pace. So that means we don't have to talk about everything right away, or maybe some things feel great to talk about and some things don't. And that's cool because of my history in trauma healing and my research in trauma healing and my studies in trauma healing. Like I get that we can't just plow through everything, that it takes time. And yes. I really honor that. And that is something that's extremely important to me. So thank you for mentioning that.
You're so welcome, Maria. I just wanted to say that because, as I said, I think sometimes when we see someone who is so fully embodied in our in their own power, it can be intimidating because it's not that you are intimidating. It's that the possibility of us embodying our own power is intimidating.
Yes.
And so Maria is here to be, I think, for many women, is an example of what it can look like when you are fully embodied in your power. And so if that's something that you're like aching for, heart, body, mind, soul, please contact her. Go in her Facebook group to get a taster of what being in Maria's presence can really feel like, because she, you know, she's magic, but she's also just a real human being. And so are you. And so, we'll post all the links in the show notes for how people can connect with you. And I know that this will serve as medicine for so many women who are listening in. So thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you, Layla. What an honor.
Thank you. So if you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did, please don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and YouTube. And if you would like to receive more Wild Mystic Woman magic through email, head on over to wildmysticwoman.com and sign up for the temple letters. Until next time, goodbye, sisters.